Crisis comms, it's something we talk about quite a lot in the world of communications, but it is evolving, and there's a new threat which could make things a lot more challenging, not just for the top corporate targets of attacks on their reputation, but on small organizations now and companies, because the technology to cause damage at a mass scale to reputation is getting easier. That's what this episode of the Public Relations Podcast is all about, and I'm talking to Rafi Mendelson from Cyabra about a report they did on this and some of the learnings that we can get out of it. Just a quick reminder, though, before I press play on that, for the PR Bytes newsletter, the new free daily newsletter out Monday to Friday is now available. Head to thepublicrelationspodcast.com. Thepublicrelationspodcast.com, easy enough to remember. Click on the newsletter link and sign up to that. Lots of stuff in that that I am now doing. But as I say, bit of a scary one for this episode of the Public Relations Podcast, but a fascinating one too, and there's definitely some lessons here. So here we go. It might not seem relevant to smaller in-house comms teams and smaller agencies, but the threat of misinformation online is growing. The reason is because the technology to do it is getting easier to set up. And that means that more people with a grudge against your organization, even smaller businesses, can begin misinformation campaigns. Those who don't know how to do it themselves can find more people able to do it for them. Now, we all know how easy it is for someone to fire off a complaint on Twitter or any other social platform that deliberately misrepresents you or frankly lies about your organization because they hold a grudge or weren't happy with something, whatever it was. But while one tweet might not make much difference, what if there were thousands created by that person? I spotted this story from a firm called Cyabra the other day, who did a study of how stock prices for Intel and Nvidia were influenced by bots. And I thought this was worth reaching out to them about and doing a quick chat. And I'm absolutely delighted because Rafi Mendelson is from the firm and kindly agreed to spend a few minutes talking about what they found so that we can try and sort of have a look at some of the implications here on the Public Relations Podcast and what it might mean for your business. First of all, Rafi, thanks so much for joining us. Just give us a TLDR, the heads up on the report, first of all, just so we've got some context on that.
Well, thanks for having me on. And it was a fascinating report, and unfortunately one that we're uncovering on a weekly basis of brands being impacted by fake accounts. So We saw a massive chunk of the conversation around Intel when they announced some financial results that were not so positive. Now, you can expect the chatter around brands, large brands, whenever they have those kinds of announcements, whether it's product announcements or financial performance. But actually, what we saw when we broke down, used the Cyabra platform and broke down the conversation on social media, that 22% of the accounts on X discussing Intel and their stock price were from fake profiles. And this is just yet another example of something that we're finding that's been growing over the last 6 to 9 months of brands being impacted by fake accounts that are trying to influence and impact the conversation online.
And they're doing here to try and influence the stock price, are they? To try and make money out of the stock market, I'm guessing.
Yeah. So stock market manipulation is something that we've seen that's even a newer trend in terms of brand being impacted. And that's obviously for financial gain. It's not necessarily that they are the cause of the initial impact or the initial up or down.
Yeah, the actual story that kicked it off, yeah.
Yep. Although that is something that we are actually investigating if there are cases of that as well. But once a stock price starts to move one way or the other, the ability, exactly like you said in the intro, to create fake accounts, more believable fake accounts in their thousands in order to wade into the conversation and drive it one way or another is becoming more prevalent. And 22% of the conversation being...
Yeah, I mean, it's huge, isn't it?
It's sizable, yeah.
But let's try and chunk this down. I mean, who are running these pots? Is this... I don't know, some organization, is these individuals with grudges, hackers? I don't know.
It's a great question. At Cyabra, we're always thinking about it from the perspective of malicious actors, right? Our mission is to fight disinformation and the activity of malicious actors. The motivation, I suppose, hasn't changed for thousands of years. It's chaos, it's influence, it's power, it's money. Mm. And I think the rise in brands being impacted is both a case of financial gains, but also as well kind of chaos. But also sometimes brands find themselves in the midst of an attack, a disinformation, brand information attack that sometimes isn't related to them at all. It's that there are bots that are being created for something altogether. Maybe it's related to upcoming elections. We saw one brand a few weeks ago that they went viral because of the growth of fake accounts that had been created for the Indian.
Is this your classic image of the hacker sitting in their bedroom doing this, or is this on an organized level? Do we know?
So we like to think of it as a kind of a hoodie in that.
Yeah, it's a stereotype, isn't it?
Kind of. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the imagery that we associate with that. But actually, it's become way more sophisticated. And like I mentioned, it could be for a number of different sources, different stakeholders involved. It could be on a state level. I know that sounds quite kind of unbelievable, far-fetched, and sci-fi to think of the way the brands are being impacted. But because of the general growth of fake accounts and, like you said, the ability to create, especially using Gen AI tools, more and more brands are being kind of sucked into this vortex of influence operations campaigns, as well as obviously, like we saw with Intel, like we see with other brands, brands themselves being targeted for something they've done, something they've perceived to have done in order to have an influence on them.
Yeah, it's to build on the negative message, isn't it? I mean, it's interesting you say that. We actually had someone on last year who was talking about the fact that their client had been targeted, as far as I could tell, by a foreign government. So it's not something that is completely beyond. It is starting to move from beyond just your, the really big corporations down to a lower level, because presumably it is getting so much easier. I mean, how much easier is it now compared to just a few years ago?
Well, if you allow me to take a step back, the kind of framework of disinformation is ABC, the accounts, behaviors, and content. If you're a malicious actor, this is how you're thinking about it. An account is which fake accounts you need to create. Is it bots, sock puppets, trolls? A sock puppet takes a little bit more time. You might invest more of your energies in it. It's still an anonymous fake account, but maybe for all months or even years, they've been talking about football or the movies, and then they're lying in wait, ready to go. Whereas bots are kind of more automated computer programs that are created in their thousands. Which are the accounts? That's the A. B is the behavior. How do you want them interacting with each other? How are you going to get your different kinds of fake accounts? But also, how are they interacting with the wider conversation? And C is the content. What content are those fake accounts putting out? Now, in the content sphere of content, we see in particular Gen AI tools having a real impact because it's really leveled the playing field and the ability to create, obviously deepfakes, fake images, but also just text.
Just pumping out low-level but innocent trash. Yeah.
Absolutely. And if you think a couple of years ago, the kind of crypto Bitcoin bots that existed on our news feeds and on social media, and it was fairly easy to spot. English wasn't the first language, the grammar, something was a bit on. But now you can just use those AI tools, the LLMs, to be able to create such believable text at scale that it makes the content really, really powerful, really much, much harder to spot, almost to the point that I don't think any tools out there can spot it 100% and isolate it. But that's really the way that we should think about it in terms of what's the content that's being put out there, but also what are the narratives and the how are we observing the fake accounts, which are essentially the Trojan horses, right? They're the online foot soldiers that are trying to cause that havoc.
So it's not just the fact that it's getting easier, it's the fact that the bots are getting more convincing. And therefore, I mean, this is, we talk about AI and the sort of hallucination already, don't we? But it's just getting more convincing. When they put something out, it sounds real. It sounds like it's based in reality. We're more likely to take it on board. And as we know with comms, those things just kick off so fast.
They kick off really fast. It's becoming easier to create and make them more believable. And also it's easier to create more of them. So how can we expect at scale to be able to identify it? And also as well, understand, okay, let me see the clusters of fake accounts. What's the proportion of the conversation? Mm. What are the narratives that they're putting out? When a brand is in the midst of a crisis, one of the first things you want to understand is, what are they saying? How do we create messaging that addresses that? But now being able to address, okay, what are the fake accounts saying compared to what are the real people saying, is crucial and is becoming harder to do. So the kind of tools or the skill set that crisis communications or just communicators generally need to uncover it, in just a kind of reactive way, right? They find themselves in the early moments of a crisis, is becoming harder to do because of the sophistication on one side, but also as well, the scan and speed on the other side. And that's just, that's reacting to something that you're in the midst of. What about identifying things in advance? And I think, I started my career in PR communications. I remember sitting down in crisis communication simulations with clients and on the other side myself, but also being on that defensive mode. And I think us as communicators, we're not always thinking about it from that defensive, the cybersecurity world are always thinking about, we're constantly under attack. Yeah. We have to identify.
But that's our job.
That's their mindset.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Whereas on the communication side, we're often dealing with it once it's actually happened. But we even see sometimes impersonation accounts, right? forget about creating thousands of fake accounts. You can create one impersonation account of a brand or of a CEO or of senior executives in the company. It's so easy to make it believable and to cause havoc.
Let's talk about the level to which of business and organizations this is starting to get to. As I said earlier, we're talking about Intel and Nvidia here, but I mean, what size of business should be concerned about this now? Now, I know people are going to think straight away, oh, this is about trying to sell services for trying to, being safe online. But realistically, what level of organization might be attacked in this way now? Are we talking about the corner shop? Probably not, no? I mean, what are we talking about?
I think we're probably not talking about the corner shop. And I think it's also easy to gravitate towards thinking it's the Intels of the world, like we spoke about. But actually, we're finding it creeps itself more into medium and large-sized companies as well. And there are lots of different examples of different industries that are particularly susceptible to it. We saw at the beginning of the year the banking industry, and it still continues to this day, the ability to cause panic and fear and amplifying certain messages online has a huge impact. We saw at the Silicon Valley Bank. But also as well, there are, in a way, those hackers with the hoodie, they're quite opportunistic. So we even see some customer service accounts of not even such large companies all around the world, right? Fake accounts are being created, and they might be, here's another example of a kind of disinformation, or what we consider a disinformation attack, is fake accounts set up as customer support, right? So they're targeting the real accounts and the comments of people who are going online and saying, hey, I have an issue with your product. I have an issue with this. Mm. And they are targeting them. Say, oh, let me help you with that. Yeah, we'll give you a refund. Just provide us with your credit card details. And even though that's not the brand's fault, the customer has that expectation that they're going to be looking out for that kind of thing. And so that can affect medium-sized companies. And the opportunistic way that we see that is that sometimes those fake accounts are created. They're targeting different kinds of companies, and maybe they are switching from week to week. They're using the same fake accounts, but they're just changing the handle, changing the imagery and content around it. How often do we go back to an account and look at the whole history of months in advance? We don't necessarily.
Well, particularly on a scale as well. That's the problem too. We're not talking about a couple of people who are getting angry and putting out some bad tweets. We're talking about thousands, aren't we?
Yeah, it's very easy to create thousands. And I think there's probably two sides of the coin to think about this. We look at, in cyber, when we scan a conversation on social media, we look at the difference between the fake and the real accounts. Mm. And we are able to identify fake accounts on social media. So when you look at the proportion of the fake accounts, that's one side. We find that on average, there's between 4-7% of an average conversation taking place on social media is driven by fake accounts, right? 4-7, and that includes a whole wide range of different bots, or might be scraping bots, bad bots, whatever it is. When we start to see portion of the conversation, 10, 15, 20, 30%, right? Around election time, you might get 40% of the conversation. But even amongst brands with the Intel we saw, in the 20s, that starts to give us cause for concern, and then there's an alarm. But the second part of the coin is not just what the proportion of the fake accounts of the conversation, but what's the proportion of the conversation that they're driving. Because a fake account, by its nature, is pumping out more information, generally speaking, than you or I. You might have some fake accounts that are posting hundreds of times a day. So you might have even 10 or 15% of the conversation fake account, but the actual conversation might be 30, 40%.
The thought that really strikes me here is that if the bots have the ability to do this stuff incredibly fast, what hope have you really got? I mean, yes, you can have a system which goes, look, there's this conversation started, there are these bots, you can try and shut them down. But as we know in comms, the moment this stuff has got out there, often it can be really hard to try and close it down again.
That's a really, really good question. And I think it's sometimes, or some people we speak to say, well, what can we do? They're kind of throwing their hands up saying, well, we don't stand a chance with this. And actually, that's definitely not the case. And even just the ability to understand as we say, uncovering the good, bad, and fake, right? Understanding what proportion is fake, what's real, but then being able to explore each of those different areas. If you find yourselves in the midst of a crisis communications or a disinformation attack, being able to identify how many fake accounts, sometimes, you mentioned just before about sometimes it could be in the thousands, but actually, maybe you don't need to deal with the thousands of fake accounts. Mm. Maybe you address 100, 200 who are really driving the conversation, and we're able to identify which ones are having an impact, which ones aren't. So if you're able to take down 100, 200, that can really diffuse the conversation. Whereas on the other hand, if you identify who are the real accounts and the real accounts, the real people that are actually quite positive about you, then you can work with them in order to amplify the positive whilst at the same time taking out the negative of the conversation. Another thing is also just understanding the narratives. So sometimes when brands are in the middle of a communication crisis, understanding and communicating both internally and also externally, when journalists approach you saying, I'm seeing all this stuff online, and then and journalists themselves don't have an ability to differentiate between the good and the bad and the fake, and being able to communicate to them saying, actually, what you're seeing here is not as it appears.
Yeah.
And that changes the whole narrative.
Yeah, that's powerful,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really, really powerful. Yeah. And you know, it's often the media articles that fuel the fire that turns into another wave of a crisis. And so being able to address that, and we saw that, for example, with Zara last year, right? They brought out an advertising campaign that was controversial. And inevitably it spiraled and journalists were covering it and they found themselves having protests in the shop. But actually, when we looked at the first few days of that campaign, when they launched that, 39% of the accounts that were engaging with the Zara brands on social media were fake accounts. And they were exclusively negative.
Fascinating. Now,
the brand themselves didn't have the ability to separate, differentiate between the two.
Yes.
And a few days later, lo and behold, what did we find? They took down the campaign because they said, we've seen the conversations online. Yeah. Journalists are picking up on the conversations online. We're taking down this account. So they weren't able to first identify and then kind of change the narrative.
Rafi, we're going to have to wrap up, but I get the feeling this is going to become a growing problem. So we're going to have to get you on again at some point because I'd love to know any sort of updates you get or any new information, stuff like that. We'll do this again. Just very quickly, how can people get hold of you if they want to reach out to you?
They can get hold of me on social media, on LinkedIn, but also cyabra.com. Every week, we are publishing more research that our analysts are looking into in order to uncover, just as we said, those examples of large companies, medium-sized companies, how they're being impacted. More and more, we want to also try and put in the remedies and the recommendations that brands can take in. So we are publishing more of that, and feel free to get in touch.
Yeah, fascinating. We'll talk to you again, Rafi. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me on, Richard.